down the road, you'd be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnell.
I am here with Mark Susnow, who's a life design strategist, cutting-edge thought leader, author, inspirational speaker, and coach who inspires others to believe in themselves. Influenced by a new millennium, he transitioned from an exciting career as a successful trial lawyer, interviewed by Rolling Stone magazine, The New York Times, Boston Globe, and other major media, to what he does now, specializing in life, executive leadership, and business coaching, and as a CEO of Inspire Possibility. He's the author of the much acclaimed The Soul of Uncertainty, a fable for our times. And he's also the author of Dancing on the River, Navigating Life's Changes, and Discover the Leader Within, 10 Keys to Becoming the Leader You Want to Be. He's also a host of his own show, and it's called Inspire Possibilities. It's a podcast. And so we're going to talk a little bit about everything you do, Mark. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I've been looking forward to this. I know we scheduled this a long time ago, and I was just listening to you read my bio, and I go, wow, that's really me.
That is you.
And here I am, yeah, just talking to you like a, you know, just a regular person.
Just a regular
having
person.
A conversation.
Yeah.
You know, well, I think that's what we all are, just regular people.
Well, you had an interesting background.
Thank you.
How did you get to be this regular guy? I mean, you had this interesting background. Tell me a little bit about your background as a trial lawyer and how that led to the next thing.
Well, I guess I was of the generation of wanting to save the world. And I saw being a criminal lawyer and a lawyer advocating social change as a path to do that.
Uh-huh.
And so out of law school, I, you know, instead of pursuing a more lucrative career, I decided I just went out on my own to San Francisco and started defending people and defending, you know, people arrested for pot and stuff like that and draft resistors. And I just started doing it. I just started telling me, you know, I worked for a couple of guys for five months. Then I was on my own, and I just started doing it. And the next thing I knew, I was in Rolling Stone and New York Times, and one thing led to the next, and that was it until I started. After a few years, when I achieved a lot of success and notoriety, my life kind of came crashing down, and that really awakened me to more of an inner life, and that's been my path ever since, even though I was, you know, was a lawyer for many years afterwards, but I've been into meditation now for over 40 years.
You know, I have a lot of guests who say that meditation's really worked for them, and I imagine it's pretty stressful being a lawyer. And all the things that you had to do in that respect. Did you start doing the meditation when you were in the practice of law, or was it after?
Yeah, in my second year,
uh-huh.
I began meditating. So if I had to be in the courtroom, say at 9 o'clock, I got up earlier.
Yeah.
You know, I just got up, you know, a half hour earlier, and I just felt it made such a huge difference in my life that it just made all the difference in the world. And at that time, you know, I'd be, you know, after a day of court, before that, I'd have a drink or I'd smoke a joint. And then, you know, that's kind of what we did,
uh-huh.
to de-stress. And also, you know, you didn't have cell phones, so you'd be, you'd be waiting for a jury to come back.
Wow.
In the hallway, you know, waiting for a jury to come back. And, but, you know, we didn't stress was not a big topic like it is today.
Uh-huh.
was not a big topic. It was just, you know, this is what we did.
Right.
And it was, you know, there was a lot of drama. A lot of drama.
Well, so it got you interested in solving the drama, though, right? And so you now do a lot of self-help type of things. And I'm just curious, I was looking at some of the stuff you do, and you were talking about patterns that get in the way of people's success and happiness. What do you mean?
Right.
What are those patterns?
Well, I think that, you know, we have patterns, habits, beliefs. Some of the patterns are, you know, from our childhood in terms of you know, we have a way we think we should be instead of the way we are.
Right. And so how do how do we know what we should be and what's realistic?
I don't think we really know eventually what's realistic, because I think that if we really work on ourselves, we potentially can exceed our expectations. And that's a strong belief I have, is that we don't know now. Just for example, when we're climbing a mountain,
right,
we have an idea of what it would be like when we get to the summit.
Mm-hmm.
But our idea is not the same as actually experiencing it.
Right.
And when we experience it, we start to see things that there's no way we can imagine. But we have to experience it. But we're not going to know until we actually experience what's possible. So I think that one pattern we have are these limiting beliefs that we have that limit us from really going for it, because we've maybe have failed before, or, you know, things haven't worked out. We've been disappointed. So we just say, okay, enough. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Right.
And we kind of get discouraged.
Well, it can be hard. You know, a lot of leaders, I think it was Lolly Daskal who was on my show, who mentioned how she deals with a lot of leaders who feel that they're going to be discovered, that they're not as smart or as good as everybody thinks they are. Do you think that's pretty common in leaders to think that they should be something better than what they are?
Well, I think we have all of it. I think that you know, we really can, again, we don't know what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have that nagging voice also at the same time that, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not going to make it. But, and I think, actually, you know, I write a monthly newsletter, and so the January newsletter is about winning the inner game.
Uh-huh.
And I was saying that we all have that inner critic inside us, you know, that I'm not good enough, I can't make it. But it's not necessarily a bad thing, because it's also what drives us, as long as we can learn to make peace with that inner critic and that voice of judgment, and because it does motivate us, and also to have the other side of that is that, you know, it's possible that my life can be better than I ever imagined.
Right.
Because we don't know all the good that's potentially out there. We just have no way of knowing what it might be. Somebody could walk into your life and, you know, you can fall in love. It could be the ideal client. You get a new idea for a career path. I mean, I didn't really know after I was a lawyer. I decided at the turn of the millennium, I said, I'm done. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. Hmm. I just knew I didn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I had done it for a long time.
Right.
And I had young children. And then I decided to become a life coach, and I was in Hawaii when I made that decision. I thought about it,
uh-huh,
but I actually made the decision, and what the action step I took was I made a phone call to a coaching school, signed up for a program in San Francisco, and I'm get on the plane in Kauai, and I'm with two of my children, and this guy goes, I know you. You're a lawyer. You live in Marin.
Uh-huh.
You're a musician, and I met you at a storytelling workshop for lawyers.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really remember him. It was maybe 10, 12 years before.
Right.
And I said, I haven't been a lawyer for a year. So I stopped and just said, okay, I'm going to give myself a year. And he said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to become a life coach. And he said, well, if you do call me, I have a lot of decisions to make. So I called him up. He became my first client.
Wow.
And that's the way it's gone ever since.
Word of mouth.
Out of the ethers.
Yeah,
word of mouth. Mm-hmm. People show up. And,
well, how was that coaching school? Was it good?
It was very basic, and I just knew I did have the belief that I could. I had been good at several different things,
mm-hmm.
and I did have the belief that I could be good at anything if I stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it might take more time than I imagined.
Right.
But a lot of times it does. And excellence and mastery is like an ongoing journey. You have to, you work at it, and then you have a breakthrough, and then that breakthrough becomes more like a plateau.
Right, right.
And you go, well, you know what, this is not happening like it did. And you kind of lose interest, and for a lot of people, they stop.
They
let it go. And then maybe a year or two later, they get another idea. Okay, I'm gonna do this. In the beginning, they find a lot of success, and then it stops again. It plateaus. But I think what real mastery occurs is when you learn to love the plateau.
Hmm.
When you love the plateau, then you get that breakthrough, and that's when you go to the next level, and you start to just function at a whole new level.
Well, it's very challenging to be a life coach and to get people, to sign up when you're first starting. And you had mentioned how you got your first customer. But what advice do you give people who are trying to do this to get people to find out about them? I mean, we were talking about you have a podcast, you have ways of getting your message out. Do you recommend having social media presence? What's helpful for you?
I think everything is helpful. Social media is helpful. Everything is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, you know, in every business, I remember when I was a young lawyer, I went to, there was a Northern California Criminal Lawyers Association, and there was one guy there who was like a legend. His name was Ephraim Margolum.
Mm-hmm.
He was a legend. I mean, he was like a more of a mentor. He was like, a legend. He just had a way of talking. He just seemed so intelligent. He was involved in so much.
Right.
And I heard him talk, and he said, you know, after 20 years as a lawyer, I realize that any idiot can be a lawyer, but it takes a genius to get a client. I remember that.
I love that. That's
yeah,
great.
I remember that. And it's true. With every business, it's getting business. I mean, there's so many alternative, even lawyers. There's so many lawyers that can't really make it financially, or they don't have the ability to attract business. They can be brilliant and maybe work for somebody. And for example, alternative practitioners like acupuncturists, chiropractors, homeopaths.
Right.
You know, a lot of them are brilliant, but that ability to get the client and then to ask for money. And with life coaches, a lot of them, you know, these life coach schools are prevalent. But I know with the training I did, very few people are still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that, you know, a lot of these things you have to do because it's inside you. It's a labor of love, and it fulfills you. And I know there's this idea that if you do what you love, the money will follow.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all heard that, and it's been on, you know, movies like The Secret and lots of books. And, you know, I would say this, it's possible that if you do what you love, the money will follow. But usually it doesn't occur that way because but you do what you love because it gives you joy.
Right. Maybe some money
will
follow.
And when you have joy.
Not necessarily a lot of money will follow, but some money will follow, right?
Yeah, some money, right, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
You get $5, you know. And it's just that you have to really look at, you know, overall the circumstances in your life,
mm-hmm.
and your sources of income and what you need to live on. And And that's not why I went into coaching, because I was fairly successful, you know, as an attorney. And if I still wanted to focus on money, I would have remained as an attorney. But, and I knew also there was a window of when I let it go, I could go back to it.
Right.
But after a certain amount of time, that window was gone. It was closed.
Uh-huh.
And, but it is, you do what you love because it gives you joy.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people get those golden handcuffs. You know, they think, you know, I'm never going to make this money. It's such a great situation I'm in terms of that financially, that it's hard to let go of something that you don't like. I've been in jobs like that, and you know, you justify it for one reason or another. You want to be with your kids more. You have more time for that, or whatever it is makes you stay in something. And it's just such a great feeling when you do let go of that job that you really don't like, because and you you get to focus on what really makes you happy. But it's challenging for people who really don't have the financial means to do that. So is there like any suggestions for people who really are just making it paycheck to paycheck and they want to start something like this? It's got to be pretty tough.
I think it's difficult. I think it's very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, to really to make a good living as a coach, as a life coach.
Right.
Very few people, like I say, of the initial training I did. I mean, they tell you in coaching school all kinds of stuff. It just is not true.
Right.
Because of the, you know, the 20 or so people I did this one, tried to do a leadership training after I did some of the basic coaching courses, and there are 23 people. I don't think anybody's still doing this.
Yeah,
and they lose interest, or it was something doing something you love and making a living. It really goes down to like sometimes people might make money to supplement.
Yeah,
other things.
Right.
But I would say that's more realistic if you have other income, you know, you do it to supplement your other income, or if you're, you know, maybe there's another bread earner in your household, but it's to put all your eggs in one basket. It's very difficult.
Well, so what you do though, when you do this job, is you help leaders become better leaders, right? So
absolutely.
How, in your book, you talk about 10 keys to becoming the leader you want to be. Can you talk about
Right, yes, and discover the leader within.
Right, right. And how do you, what are those 10 keys? I'm curious. Can you talk about a couple of them or a few of them?
Sure. A lot of them are actually, one thing I discovered is that leadership development and personal development are really like one and the same. And that was, I remember after the year training, it was four retreats of about 6 days. And then we had 3 months in between each retreat. And at the end of it, I said to somebody, well, what is leadership development? Because I was confused. I couldn't figure out how leadership development was different than personal development.
Right, right.
And I asked a few people, and I came to the conclusion there's no difference. So some of these things I'm going to say about these 10 keys, for example, one is I think you have to embrace change, which was really the subtitle of Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes. I think that all leaders have to recognize that things do not stay the same. And for example, in the technology world, you know, some products that you design and develop, you know, in a few years are obsolete.
Right.
So in life, things change. We grow older, the tides come in and out. So embracing change, again, and this is in all my books, I talk a lot about change.
Right.
And I think the best way to really embrace change is to really how you start your day. Instead of waking up, jumping in the shower, grabbing a cup of coffee, racing out of the house, right? If you start your day like that, you're going to be in a hurry all day long.
Right.
So I say the easiest way to get change into your life, change how you start your day.
How do you start yours?
And so I start my day with meditation. And so I just don't rush into the day. And that gives me a time to reflect. And then what I do is I focus on what I'm grateful for, And then I always ask myself, I wonder what the highlight of my day is going to be. And that kind of, so I have this expectation because, as we know, during our day, things don't work out quite often the way that we expected. And there might be some things that disappoint us,
right,
and we get a jolt. But if you're also looking for the good, and in the end of the day, you ask yourself, what was the highlight of my day? That's what you remember rather than what didn't work out.
Right.
But back to this idea of these 10 principles,
uh-huh,
and it be committed again to new ideas, to you know, innovation, right? Be an innovator.
Uh-huh.
Where does that come from? From a quiet mind. And you get all these good ideas. You don't get them necessarily if you're always focused on what you're doing. You do something different and let it come to you.
Right.
And then I think in terms of leadership, you have to explore the emerging trends. What are the emerging trends? What are people thinking? What is the current way of being? What are people thinking about the industry you're in? So be open to the emerging trends. And I have found that some of the best leaders I've worked with are great communicators. And not only are they great communicators, they're always looking at, how can I be a better communicator?
Uh-huh. Right.
So that's what I would say to people. Be a great communicator. Learn how to be a great communicator. Learn what authentic listening is. Learn what active listening is.
Well, I'm interested in what you think, now that I'm listening to what you're saying. Yes, that.
Right.
I'm writing about curiosity. How does curiosity fit into being a good leader?
Well, first of all, curiosity means lots of things. It means, mm-hmm, you're open to learning new things,
mm-hmm,
to innovation,
mm-hmm,
and that's a big thing of what I would. Yeah, that's the thing. I think that people that like to learn new things,
mm-hmm,
are curious.
Right.
That's what I realize about myself. I don't think I had quite that understanding, but for example, I wanted to explore. I wanted to explore everything. What's that like? And I meet somebody, and I go, "Wow, that's." What's that like? And that's what's fun about, you know, doing these shows is that we get to meet people, and some people have totally different lives than we do. What's that like? What's that like to be? I just interviewed somebody that was one time a World Series star,
uh-huh,
and it was great to kind of get into his body.
Yeah.
And what's it like to be in this life, to be curious? And for example, when I hear music, because I'm a musician and I play lots of different instruments, how's he doing that? How does he do that? And so I'm always, as in my voicemail, I always say, you know, stay curious. It's the end of my message.
Uh-huh.
I used to say, be happy.
Uh-huh.
Remember one thing, be happy. And then I changed it to stay curious.
Yeah,
and
I like that.
It's stay curious to, and curiosity again, it makes life more interesting when we're learning new things and we're curious.
I think
and
so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that one of the first things you did was to ask me about how I did the show because you were curious. And so,
yeah.
Before we get on the air, our little talk. And I think that shows, I'm always fascinated by people that don't seem to really want to know why or are that curious. And I would love to be able to spark curiosity in other people. And I think, you know, what you're doing is helping leaders to be better. And I think by improving curiosity in leaders and then the people and having them know how to spark curiosity in their followers can be really important. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Because people that are, maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's a way we can be more efficient.
Right, right.
More productive.
Definitely. There's always that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's such a huge topic with engagement being so low right now. And I'm sure you deal with that a lot with leaders trying to find ways to improve engagement. And
yes.
So, you know, a lot of people want that feedback. They want to know how they're doing and they're curious, right? And we need to feed that.
Sure. And they want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do better, but it really brings us alive. Curiosity, I think, is really what brings us alive. And I think this idea of aliveness, of when we do things, coming back to this idea about, you know, doing something that we love, what's so important is to have this aliveness.
Right.
And so that we get excited. And so I'm a few more things in terms of these qualities of a great leader. Learn how to manage your energy. Right. So you really look at how am I managing my energy? Am I stressed out? Because when you're stressed out, it drains a lot of energy from you. And managing your energy really helps you with time management.
It does.
And you learn how to be more productive. What's interesting is that in a lot of books I've read two or three books that talk about when you're working on a problem, you focus on it. But at some point, you need to just let it go and do something else. And that's like interrupting the pattern that one of the books I talk about, The Breakthrough Principle, he talks about focus on a problem,
uh-huh.
let it go, do something totally different.
Uh-huh.
And then what happens is at some point, you get an insight into that problem when you're doing something totally unrelated. And then that gives you, you can come back to it with that new awareness.
Right.
And so that's part of, so it's not a function of time, really. It's a function of managing your energy.
It's more like fresh.
How am I wasting time? Am I the most productive I could be?
Yeah.
And again, one of the other principles is to what I call reclaim your life, live in balance. And by the way, I have an ebook on that about reclaiming your life, live in balance. And I use a metaphor that it's a lot like sailing, like living a balanced life. Cause you know, sometimes when you're sailing, you know, the wind stops.
Yeah.
So there's just no wind, right?
It's not good.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes the wind changes. So you gotta change direction.
Right.
You gotta change your sails.
Yeah, you do. That's, well, you know, these are all really helpful ideas, and I wish we had time to go through all the 10 keys, but, you know, that ebook sounded really interesting, and I think a lot of people probably want to know how they can find out more about what you do and what your website. Can you share all that?
Sure. My website is inspirepossibility.com, and you can just go to my website, and if you sign up for my newsletter, you will get a link to my other ebook, Stepping Stones to Greater Personal Freedom. That book is available. And if you email me personally at mark@inspirepossibility.com, I will go ahead and send you the link to Reclaim Your Life, to that ebook. These are short ebooks.
Yeah.
But I wrote them a long time ago, and I've updated them a little bit, and I realized they're really, if I may say so, they're really good, and they're
timeless,
short.
Timeless, huh? Yeah.
Timeless,
yeah,
yes.
Right.
Timeless, and I feel good about that, and it was when I, first few years of this journey. And so go to my website. All my books are available on Amazon.
Awesome.
And if people are interested in working with me, I give people a half-hour, 40-minute free consultation, only if you know you're really serious about making changes in your life, to really explore whether we're a good fit and to really look at where you want to go and what's in the way. And so that's available too. If you email me, again, it's mark@inspirepossibility.com.
Well, that's wonderful, Mark. Thank you so much for sharing all that. I think everybody will take advantage of your good, your generosity with that. And I loved our conversation, and I really appreciate it.
Me too.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the
Me
show.
Me too. I think you did. You're great. Very, you know, I loved it. Really fun to talk to you, and we could probably talk for days.
We could. But
you've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark at inspirepossibility.com. Imagine. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.
Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.